Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, he is the author of the Tiger and Phil book, Out. He is Bob Herrick, also writes for SI.com. Schneider's hiring drivers right now. For more info, call him 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. Bob, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, no, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate you doing that.
And we got the PGA Championship up on the Golf Network here in the studio. I saw Tiger Woods presser talking a little bit earlier today. Been watching him get his practice round in and all that fun stuff, and his practice shots, I guess, at this point. Expectations, Bob, for you for Tiger Woods coming into the PGA Championship?
I would put them at pretty low. And it's just because I think it's too soon to expect a lot out of him at this point. You know, what he did last month at the Masters is remarkable. I think you have to look at it in the big picture with the perspective of what, you know, what he was coming back from. Nobody really thought he'd be at the Masters. I'm not sure if Tiger really thought he'd be there. And he managed to, you know, make the cut and willed himself around the golf course as the days went on. He said today, you know, it got worse. And he was frustrated that he didn't have the stamina and the strength. And obviously, I think that suggests that, you know, it was a big ask to come back there. So now we're 5 weeks later, and there's been the chance for improvement and all that. But, I mean, he's still not at the point where, you know, he's going up against guys who are playing a regular schedule and competing and they're getting their games in shape. And he's trying to do that from afar, while also, you know, trying to build up his leg and overcome the issues that he's got to deal with there. So, again, I sort of think making the cut like he did at the Masters would be a great accomplishment. And then you kind of see where he stands. I mean, it'd be nice maybe this time if he shot some better weekend scores and moved up the leaderboard. But beyond that, I think it's you're out there thinking that he could contend or even win.
You know, for me, doesn't Phil Mickelson looms large, though, over this tournament?
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's still shocking to think of what's all gone on here the last couple of months. What Phil did a year ago was historic. He became the oldest major champion. Mm-hmm. He was 50 years old and beat a record that had stood for 53 years. I mean, for all the gains and technology and fitness and health, still pretty hard to win at golf even when you're 50 and you're trying to compete against 30-year-olds or 35-year-olds. And that's what he was doing. You know, Brooks Koepka and Louis Oosthuizen, who are in their 30s, Koepka in his early 30s, finished a shot back. You know, those guys are the ones you'd have thought would have beat him. And yet he won and won his sixth major. It was an accomplishment that frankly he could have kind of taken with him the rest of the way. I mean, in some ways you might argue that was a better win than Tiger's 2019 win at the Masters, as great as that was. I mean, it's a phenomenal victory and celebrated and really fun. And now here we are, and he's not even playing. You know, he didn't play the Masters. All this controversy surrounding him right now. You know, Tiger said it's unfortunate. Rory McIlroy earlier today said it's kind of sad.
Right.
that he's not here, and so now we're not even sure what his future holds.
Well, I tell you this, Bob, this is Leroy Butler. I got my book on Amazon, by the way. I appreciate it's a good book, man. Whether or not, I think a lot of people gonna get the book because if you think about their rivalry, and I like Phil too. If you think about their rivalry, Phil's thinking that, you know, maybe this young guy did make me get in shape. Because Phil started looking a little bit more cut because of Tiger. Phil was probably thinking, you know, I take a little bit more risk. And sometimes Tiger hit it long and things. So I think it's a fascinating book. But here's the thing about this. When Jack Nicklaus said he turned down $100 million from the Saudis.
Could you turn down $100 million?
Dude, I can't turn down a million.
If the Saudis offered you $100 million.
What time
to go
take off?
To go do sports talk radio in
what
Saudi Arabia. Talk soccer.
Off? And me and Bob, we're going to sell some books over there, too.
For $100 million.
We gone, man.
You're gone.
Yeah, I'm gone. I can call you on your FaceTime.
I can teach you about soccer on your flight.
I got a lot of respect for Jack, man. But $100 million, what Greg Norman took advantage of it. How did people, when people start hearing about that, what did you think of that?
Well, first of all, Leroy, just a quick personal digression. This will date you. It'll date me even more. But I used to work at the St. Pete Times in Florida. And I covered FSU when you were there. I love those days. That was great. But in any case, to your question, I think it's just staggering the amount of money that's being talked about. You know, and that's why we're at this point with Phil.
Right.
And you know, aside from where the money is coming from. There is an issue in golf here that's come to the forefront with all of this, and that is that unlike team sports, golfers only get paid on performance. Mm-hmm. And I think there is an argument to be made that Tiger and Phil and other guys today like Rory and John Rahm and Jordan Spieth, you know, they bring a lot to the table that they're not really compensated for unless they perform. In other sports, you're compensated sort of based on past performance and future expectations. I use Bryson DeChambeau as a great example. He brings a lot of value to the PGA Tour. He was in the news a lot last year. You know, his thing with Koepka, he won at Bay Hill trying to drive it over a huge lake 2 days in a row. He contended at the U.S. Open. He's won a U.S. Open. He goes about it a little bit differently. Whenever he plays, there's interest. And yet he's been hurt this year, so he's not making anything, you know. And I think the top golfers have wondered for years, we are not getting compensated based on what we bring. And so these rival golf leagues that have come along, I mean, look, $100 million to Jack Nicklaus to be like an ambassador is just kind of shows you what they've got there to deal with. And they've got a lot of money to throw at these guys, and they've taken notice. You know, they're human. Like you guys said, would you go take, you know, X amount of money to go work, do what we do for them? And, you know, it's easy to say that people should turn down all that kind of money, but what if it's you?
You know, I'm going.
So it's created quite the quandary here in golf, and I don't think it's going away. You know, some guys are going to go play that first LIV golf event outside of London next month. And somebody that we've never heard of might win it and earn $4 million, which is more than double what you can make on the PGA Tour for winning a tournament against a full field. And it's going to get people's attention, and it's going to continue to.
Bob, do you think people, let's be honest now, do you think people know that Scottie Scheffler is the number one player in the world? I mean, do some kid in Idaho who's golfing right now just doesn't have a cart, he's walking, and he's a golfer, or some kid in Montana, because it's not Rory, the big name. Do you understand that this guy has been playing amazing, and I don't know if people even know?
Yeah, I think you have to be kind of a, you know, an avid golf fan, you know, a bit of a golf geek to maybe know who he is and what he's done. You know, now listen, if he continues to do that,
right,
then he'll get the sort of name that a Rory has or Jordan Spieth. You know, we're in a bit of an odd time right now in golf. You know, we love parity in team sports. You know, it's great in the NFL that fans of certain teams you know, can wake up from year to year and think that their team has a chance because of the way they do the draft and the schedule and the salary cap and all that. You have a chance. It's meant to be that way. They don't want people to be bad forever. But in golf, I think we like somebody to stand out. You know, that's why we love Tiger. You know, he won so much, and it was so compelling to see if he could keep it going. Phil the same way. We don't really have that right now. Scheffler actually, you know, he's won four times this year. That's the closest thing we've had to that, but it happened so fast, and he was not that well known before he went on that run. It makes you wonder if people really know who it is.
Exactly.
So it'd be good if we had a couple more guys step up and win more often.
Talking with SI.com golf writer Bob Herrick. Make sure to go get his book right now, Tiger and Phil, Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry, available on Amazon right now to go get that. We talk about, and Leroy brought it up, obviously, and who was it? Was it Garcia the other day who said, I can't wait to get off this tour?
Yes, yeah.
And was all mad about something going on with the rules that he was frustrated with. I mean, how much of a departure do we think we're going to see as far as how many guys do you think are eventually going to take off for this thing in the next year or two if the money's that great?
Well, first of all, you know, I know he was frustrated, but you know, if Sergio were to go play on this other tour, this other league, you know, they're going to have rules officials too.
That's what I was going to say.
and there's going to be, they're going to still play by the rules of golf. So, you know, it was a little bit of, I just think he was frustrated. He thought he was, and you know, what was interesting about that is it turned out that the rules official made an error. You know, and they later came back and clarified it. But he was just, I think it does point out that players do have some issues with the PGA Tour. There are some things that are legitimate. Mm-hmm. You know, Phil has brought some of them up. There are some transparency issues.
Yeah, I
there are some things with, you know, maybe they don't feel there are enough rules officials. Maybe they feel the money should be spread out more evenly among players. Maybe they feel there's too many big money executives at the tour. You know, there are things going on, but how many are going to go over? I think it's going to be a slow trickle because at the beginning, people are going to be feeling it out. They're afraid if they jump over there and play even a couple of events, their path back to the PGA Tour might be too difficult. There's also because the tour is going to make it hard. They're going to penalize guys who do this, and then there could be a legal fight. On that, because they are independent contractors, and there is some notion that they should be able to play wherever they want, whenever they want. The tour, though, has rules that say you need permission to play elsewhere, and they signed on for those rules. The other side of it is that will they have world ranking points at these LIV golf events? If they don't, what will be the way for players to get into the majors down the road?
Oh, that's a good question.
You know, a guy like Phil is exempt for three of the four majors basically for life. I mean, the British Open is age 60. He's got four more years on his U.S. Open exemption. In theory, he should be able to play them. But if you're somebody like, say, well, like Sergio, for example, he's only got the Masters because he's won it. The other majors, if he wants to get in them, there's ways to do it. PGA Tour, top, you know, 30 in the FedEx, winning a tournament. There are no exemptions for these other leagues. The only other way is the world ranking being in the top 50. Well, if they're not giving points, you're going to keep sliding down. So, you know, is it all just about money? Tiger talked about that today. In his mind, it's about legacy. The PGA Tour is where your legacy is. You compare history. You know, his 82 wins is compared to Jack Nicklaus's 73 and to Arnold Palmer's 60. And without that, you know, what do you have? Are you just playing for money?
I don't know, man. I mean, we got to go, Bob, but I'm just thinking to myself, if I'm a top amateur golfer coming out of college and I got both knocking on my door and I've not played any PGA to this point, I may consider go getting my money, getting set financially, and then coming over and trying the PGA at that point. That's what I want to see. How many of these college kids are going to go try to cash in quick and then come back to the PGA and play on that tour later? Thanks so much for coming on. Get his book today at Amazon.com, the Tiger and Phil book. A great story in there about Tony Romo and Jim Nance and Phil Mickelson. It'll have you laughing and shaking your head. Go check it out today. Bob Herrick, SI.com golf writer. Follow him on Twitter at Bob Herrick. Bob, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, guys. Enjoyed it.
You bet.
Have a great day.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.